We may never know, Uther. I intend to live forever.
How dare you show your face here? Faces.
Don't laugh at that, you idiot!
A lot of story there, a lot of lore. For those of you who are into that kind of thing, I love you.
Welcome to Live, Laugh, Lore, the podcast that explores where we've been and where we may go next in the world of Warcraft.
Welcome, everyone, to Live, Laugh, Lore, episode 106, the show that still has so many questions just waiting to be answered. Each episode, we'll check in, have some laughs, and talk all about the lore of Warcraft 1 or 2 topics at a time. My name is Allie, the one that finally, after so much time, content to stop being so curious about who the first ones are until I read the Dragonflight Codex, that is. And I'm joined by the one that may or may not feel the same way by the end of the episode. It's Jin.
Hi. It's me.
I don't know.
We had some conversations in the Discord that I was like, I forgot about that. What is that? So I guess we'll see.
We'll see. There's some. It's going to be interesting. All right. Hey, what you been up to, buddy?
Oh, all sorts of things, because we're recording on a very weird and time day thing.
We are.
Yeah, because I'm going on vacation. I'm going to go hang out on the beach and just enjoy myself for a couple days.
Good for you.
It's going to be beautiful. It, dude. So I am running around doing all sorts of stuff, just making sure I get crazy. There goes the boom arm. It died. It officially died. It happened. It broke. Look at that. That's funny.
So I'm going to be holding my mic this episode.
Yeah, we got Steven Tyler up here on stage holding the microphone stand. Look at this.
Woo. Anyways, continue. Beach.
Anyways, back to what I was doing. Yeah, I'm going to the beach. Yeah. And then, I took a week off work. Half of that time is going to be hanging out in Pismo, having a good old time there. And the other... part of it. We're actually probably going to go head up to the trees in California and see some of the redwoods and stuff like that. So yeah, just an amazing all sorts of stuff that, we're doing. Now we're just insanely busy today, running around, getting everything ready, and ran 5 miles this morning, just lots of stuff. Very busy, but also very happy to be just kind of chilling for the next 5 or so days. Yeah.
That is nice.
Yeah, it's Allie's. Folding and moving and playing
okay,
with
I got
arms.
It. I got it to a place. Wait, almost.
Almost.
All okay, right. I got to a place where I can manage to hold it like this the whole episode and not go too insane. So we're
all right.
We're making it work.
this is what we do for you, listeners. This is amazingness. Check it out. This is great.
This is something, all right.
So, ooh. Allie, besides boom arm breaking on you, what have you been up to?
Purchasing a new boom arm. Thankfully, I did a lot of shopping this weekend, and I just reached out to some people to ask their opinions on boom arms, and finally got one. So it was ordered this morning.
So
it's like this boom arm new, and it was like, you know what, F you, I'm done.
Yeah,
break.
It's like you effing replaced me. I'm out of here.
You traitor. That's what it feels like right now.
It's like I'm not working no more. I'm out.
I mean,
it collapses.
It lasted a couple years. Like it did a good job. I don't think it was meant to be as 360 rotating as I used it. And so it might be partly my fault, but that's okay. There's a new one ordered. It's on the way. I also ordered a new shelf for this shelf behind me. We're going to do a little bit of, office rearranging of things and stuff. I'm excited. And finally, after doing what feels like a million time rifts, finally got Alderaath. Friday.
So you're done with that garbage. Not that it was actually garbage at the time, but you've done it for some time.
No, I enjoy time rifts, but
it's now officially garbage.
when you've been exalted with Sword Army forever in a day, and you've collected all the things that your character can possibly collect, it's a wee bit annoying. So I finally got that done. Huge thing off my bucket list for Taiwan. So that was lovely. And I'm missing one of the fishing holes and it's not there yet. And I have one more Bacarda pet, but I have to wait for that camp thing to be in the right position. You know, like just some RNG stuff. So,
whoa. Are you saying that there's a Bacarda you did not pet?
I'm ashamed. Well, because I went like on a petting spree for a while, if you will. And it was fun. It was great. But there's just one Bacarda. There's a couple Bacardas, I think, that you have to wait until the camp's in a certain position. And this one, I kept forgetting where that position was until I looked it up again. I was like, oh, I've seen it there multiple times. My brain's like, it's not there. That's not the one you want. My brain was wrong. That is the one I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, listeners, the reason I was so shocked and so like, wait, there is a Bacarda that you haven't pet is because I've been on a hike with Allie and people like to bring their dogs. And let's just say every single doggo got pet by Allie. There is no doggo that goes by her without a little scriff, a little. Oh, it's a good boy every single time. So there you go. That's where the surprise came from.
it's true. I can't even pretend like that's not true because it totally is. Mm-hmm.
Even Mr. I'm Allie pointed ashamed. Out a bunch of pictures of dogs, and she went, "Oh, look at these."
That's also true. So dogs make me happy. Okay. Yes, yeah, I am. I am ashamed. I have much shame that there's still a Bacarda I have not pet. But I will pet the Bacarda at some point on my quest to get the bestest boy for a mount. Of course, yeah. I unfortunately have not had much of a chance to do alpha this week. It was just kind of a really busy week. And that's going to change today. I'm going to make my husband's birthday cake. And I'm going to play alpha. And it's going to be great.
Sounds like a beautiful day.
Yeah, exactly. But that's about it, really. Otherwise, I'm going to start rambling. So you've got a job to do, my friend.
I absolutely have a job. So, friends, listeners, people that are just casually listening to this the first time, I have a question for you all. Did you know that knowledge is power? Do you remember where you left your floating city, or do you remain vigilant? Does the magic dazzle you? Do you wish you had more time to study in a library instead of fighting off fell murlocs?
There you go.
If you can relate to any of these, then you're in the right place. Stay tuned till the end of the show to find out how you can support this pursuit of knowledge and fun.
What you talking about? I was pretty proud of that one. That's like one of my best ones yet.
That was a good one. It was well done, actually. It was good. Oh, murlocs.
That's why I italicized it, hoping you would catch on to that. It's beautiful.
Is there anything well the Legion won't do?
It's just so funny that in one click line, he's like, I don't know where I left Dalaran. Another click line, and like after you are done like talking to him for a quest or whatever, he's like, remain vigilant. I don't know where I left a city, but you should remain vigilant. Okay, Gar. Anyways, as we get ready to leave the Dragonflight expansion later this year, there's something we need to talk about first. A definitive guide to the Dragons of Azeroth, the Dragonflight Codex. Now, if you haven't read it yet, it's actually pretty cool. It goes to the lore of all the dragons and dragon-related races and various bits of lore that have ever dealt with dragons and all in this universe that we all enjoy. Okay, well, it doesn't go over every single dragon. I look for one regarding a certain infinite pyre dragon that needs to be a mount, but it was not mentioned in there, and I was sad. But there's still a lot to learn about the main name dragons, the different flights, and the dragon-related creatures. Also, the art is amazing. It's awesome. Fantastic. I wanted to keep taking pictures of like all the different ones. I'm like, no, it's in the book right here. I have it right next to me. Like, I don't need to take pictures. It's in the book. Just open the book. It's just so good. Now, as I read it, I pulled out, you know, interesting tidbits that I learned or things that might be interesting to discuss. A lot of it is stuff that we all know. Like a lot of people come to this podcast with the base knowledge of lore. So we're not going to repeat a lot of things. We're not. But there's some good bits I want to discuss here. So, Jen, have you had a chance to read through it yet?
Not the whole thing. About halfway through.
Okay. Okay. That's fair.
We'll learn some stuff today together.
Together. The more you know. Hooray. The more you know. It's beautiful. One of the first things I love about this book, it literally says that it was written by Khadgar, Archmage of the Kirin Tor. Like, it doesn't have, like, the actual real people who wrote the book first. It says it's written by Khadgar, which I just thought was a nice little touch. And that's transcribed by Sandra Rosner and Doug Walsh, which is cool. And much like the Exploring Azeroth books, there's an introduction letter in the beginning written by Khadgar and the notes from Khadgar written on various pages, just like in the Exploring Azeroth books, because again, Khadgar is the writer of this book, hence the Khadgar-related Patreon thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some good Khadgar time. So after the letter, there's a first little intro section that's labeled unending sands of time. And this is what Khadgar shares.
Okay, let's see if I can do a Khadgar voice.
You can do it. Okay. Oh, you can totally do it. I believe in you.
As with any detailed account, this book should be taken with a grain of salt, or should I say sand. Although every effort was made to consult primary sources, such weighty matters as ordering of the cosmos or motivations of a Titan remain, at best, a theory. As life goes on, our understanding of these events will evolve. New perspectives may emerge that have the power to change everything we once knew about beloved champions and reviled villains. As scholars, however, we must always strive to seek the truth, no matter where or however long it takes us. Yeah, I actually agree with all that.
Yeah, I do too. And I took it as Blizz telling readers to keep an open mind for new information regarding the cosmos and history of this universe.
And retcons.
Yeah. It's a reminder that we learn new things as we go along, a.k.a. retcons aren't bad, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everyone thinks it's a little weird when you completely strike a character from your story. That's a weird one. But if you're just adding more context, you know, adding a little more flavor, like, hey, everybody, did you know Illidan was kind of a good guy? Right? That's kind of totally a retcon from the way he was portrayed in Burning Crusade, for sure. So, what, Libby?
Libby has thoughts on retcons.
Libby's like, okay. No, retcons suck! She's a cat, so obviously she would think that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't think she'd have a very open mind about it.
Yeah. She's getting older, too. She's like 13. So.
That's true. They do tend to get, I know, like...
set in her ways.
It's true. Like, my dog's, he's going to be 11 soon. And he's definitely become more grumbly and vocal about things he wants. It's kind of funny.
Oh, she needs a good brushing, too. His fur is going everywhere. I'm seeing the camera.
Ah, the summer coating coming in. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, the Codex points out that Loken's minions, Ignis and Vulcan, created minions, and they all wage war against the Earthen. The Earthen sought the aid of Tyr, who also secured the aid of Tyr's dragons and allies and whatnot, to contain Ignis and Vulcan's Winterscorn Vrykul forces, sending them into the dreamless slumber that lasted 1,000 years. I mostly just want to bring this up because it's a good reminder of the history of the Earthen, since we'll be seeing them in the War Within.
Yeah. And based on everything I can tell, it's probably pretty obvious that the only reason why these Earthen are still Earthen is because they're on the Isle of Dorne and they never got infected with the Curse of Flesh.
Yeah, right? Which is interesting to me.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's even the books from the Odin and things like that. Like, we can't even get there. The defenses are too good, right? So they couldn't get them, give them disease. So they're like, we're still Earthen. We eat rocks. Yay.
It's true. I'm not going to go into some things about Alpha because it's slightly spoilery. But not at the same time. But like, I'm hoping that we really get to learn a lot about ancient Earthen and ancient lore and all that kind of jazz.
Oh man, I mean, technically, I wonder if they could tell this story. They probably won't. But you know what's really sad about us hanging out with the Earthen?
Oh yes, go for it.
Technically, we could give them the Curse of Flesh because.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
That's what I was going to. I'm all fleshy and like. You know, if I gave him a high five, I mean, it was a curse from the old gods. Who's to say that it wouldn't just, sorry, Earthen, now you look like me, just a dwarf. Apologies.
I don't know if the curse of flesh is infectious like that, is it?
Yeah, it was. That's how the freaking people down in the south got it. Right? You know, because Rodan went down south and then people trickled down and then eventually it spread. So obviously they're not going to tell the story. It's going to be a playable race. It'll be there. But I'm just saying it like. 1,000 years or several generations, the Earthen will probably not be Earthen anymore. They'll probably just be dwarves.
But is that just from the people with the Curse of Flesh having, you know, babies and families and whatnot? Or is it legit infectious?
I mean, it was at least my reading of it that by coming in contact with people infected by the Curse of Flesh. And now I don't know if that has to be like someone that was just came out of the curse of the or not the curse, the messed up Forge of Wills.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they came out Earthen, right, from the curse.
Right, and then, right.
And then they're, like, giving high fives to people, and, you know, they're not doing any social distancing, you know, right? Just...
But, like, for example, Stony Tony's still stony.
Yeah, because...
And we just spent a whole expansion with them.
Were, they were kind of, like, locked away. But then again, I don't know.
But that's the same thing with Earthen.
Dragon Isles are kind of different. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm just saying, they're not super clear on how this works. I'm just saying, okay, it's possible.
That's fair.
It's possible.
Well, and like we have, because this is such an ancient race, like I feel like we have a really good chance to learn some good stuff from the past, and I'm super excited about it.
Me too.
Yeah. We also learned something interesting that I have been dying to talk about on this show since I read it. This first bit isn't the main thing, but Jen, did you know that Sorodormi is not Stormu's mate?
I didn't necessarily know that, you know, like for sure Z's, but I kind of assume. I mean, dragons, let's just say they got an open society.
They have fun. It's good. And I'm happy for them.
Right. They don't have the same. They embrace the idea of it takes a village. So they, you know.
Because it does for them.
Yeah.
With their eggs and whatnot.
It's different. And sadly, a lot of that probably came from, you know, the War of the Scaleborn, right? Where they were having to raise the eggs that were found. So I don't know. It's not surprising when anyone's like, hey, did you know that this person was sleeping with Alex Strasser? No, that's not surprising. No.
Yeah, and I'm sure they mentioned it at some point in the expansion, but I just kind of, you know, glazed over it. It happens. And while she wasn't skilled at giving me the Alderaan time rift for quite a long time, and I'm a little bitter, she is, however, skilled at seeing the minute ripples of corruption occurring in the time ways due to the infinite dragonfly's presence. And Khadgar also slipped in this nugget of unconfirmed information. He said it was unconfirmed, so I will say that Khadgar says it's unconfirmed.
Allegedly.
But allegedly, Sorodormi is believed to be the guardian of the last two vials of eternity.
Oh.
As in the vials that Odin collected from the Wells of Eternity. Two of his lieutenants used to have it, but supposedly, allegedly, Sorodormi has them right now. Now, I found this pretty interesting. Because sometimes when Blizzard brings up these tidbits of information, it feels like they're trying to remind us of something. Like, hey, everyone, remember these files? Hey, they still exist, by the way. Yeah. Blizzard could have easily left these to history. No one's been talking about them. I haven't even thought about them in forever. I mean, have you?
No, not really. I mean, I think technically we found one back in Burning Crusade off of like Lady Vaj or
probably.
Something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Obviously, one got used to make the Well of Eternity that's underneath Nordrassil.
Uh-huh.
Right, the mini well, not the big well. One was
Sunwell.
Used to create the Sunwell, right? That was exactly right. It was used to create the Sunwell. But other than that, I don't really recall what else they were using. They're just kind of out there. I can't really remember anything else of what they were
used for. I have in my head that there was one used just somewhere with some of the Northrend.
Possibly.
Stuff. But as Khadgar's saying, Khadgar's choosing to remind us.
That's what Sorodormi's got too.
Yeah. And he says only the Bronze know the future consequences of Illidan creating the Vials of Eternity.
I don't believe that because Nazdormi don't know shit.
Well, his vision is clear now.
I don't believe it.
We helped him.
He hasn't said anything. He just said it's clear. Right? He hasn't been like, oh, wait, guys, don't do this one thing because that would be really bad. No. He's just like, I can see better now.
If he told us all of the things that he knows about the future, our brains would probably blow up.
That's probably true. But I'm just saying, like, why don't you just, like, just eventually, Nazdormi, you need to at least be doing this. No. That is the decision that you should be removed from the options. Okay, just, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying, that one, really bad. And we're like, okay.
Sure,
Nazdormi, we know, okay. Good.
And so not only does Khadgar mention the Vials of Eternity and that Sorodormi allegedly has them and that only the Bronze Dragonflight knows the consequences of them in the future.
Sure they do.
The section about Azurgos hints that the Vials of Eternity may have been located for a while in the ruins of Eldorath and that he would go there often in general to search and protect powerful arcane artifacts, being blue dragonflight is what they do. He says the truth of what the blue dragon safeguarded turned out to be of equally grave importance. Now, at that point, Khadgar is referring to the shards of the Scepter of the Shifting Sands. But it's also basically pointing out that the Vials of Eternity, which is, again, for those, like, that's the what the Vials from the Well of Eternity are called, the Vials of Eternity. They are of grave importance. Why? Why is this being brought up now? Like, what is going to happen down the road? Possibly in this World Soul Saga. With the Vials of Eternity.
Well,
what are you thinking about this?
If we are focusing, obviously, on Azeroth and the World Soul and the World Soul Saga and the powers of Azeroth herself, right?
Right.
Because like, I'm not going to get too spoilery, but let's just say there was a question that was asked to Maria Hamilton recently about the whole, like, hey, can you elaborate a little bit more on the fact that Nazdormu said this is not the power of the Titans that empowered us? And the only answer was, I can't elaborate on that. Okay, that's the only answer they can get. So obviously, yeah, we know something's going on with the powers of Azeroth. So what is the Vials of Eternity? It's the power of freaking Azeroth, right? It's well,
right.
It is the blood of Azeroth mixed in with a bunch of water, basically, right?
Yeah.
So it's really freaking powerful because by Kael'thas is like great grandfather, like I can remember his name off the top of my head, but it was his great grandfather.
And Asterion? No.
Asterion was his dad.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, actually, I don't think it was his great grandfather. I think it was just his grandfather, now I'm thinking about it, because they're elves. They live a long ass time.
Yeah.
He just took one of those vials that was gifted to him, right? I don't really know how he got it. I don't know, he's highborn, and he eventually left and he had it. And he just dumped it on some intersecting ley lines, and it made the freaking sun well. These things are really powerful.
Yeah.
Illidan was just like, oh, here's a body of water, and bloop, bloop, bloop. And it was so damn powerful, they're like, we need to plant a world tree to hide it. Right. Clearly these things are screwed up, insanely important. So don't just go, wee! You know, I can see why a dragon is guarding him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
What they could do with it? I don't know. Just tell one of the Blizzard authors and they'll come up with something. I'm sure they're going to do something. I wonder what would happen if he drank it. What would happen if he drank it? Like, what if Anduin went glug, glug, glug? Is it like gummy berry juice? Does he just like...
bulk up.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Maybe grow feet. Grow a feet.
Grow a feet.
I know. I'm back to knowing all the best grammar, everyone. Yeah, I don't... Well, and then, like... Could
probably
tier,
just die. That's probably
maybe tier.
Teoria. There you go.
What happens if he drinks it?
I don't know. Maybe he won't be so sad. I don't know.
Maybe that's how he takes down Odin.
That could be it. I mean, it's probably, if anything, it's like, oh, you're imbued with the power of Azeroth. It's like, you're not exactly like Azeroth's chosen champion, but you're really pretty powerful. So cool. I mean, that's probably what would happen. It's like, if I were in charge of the story, that's what I would write.
Yeah,
right? Like, it'd be one of those things where it's like, oh, some dastardly evil character got their hand on one and drank it, and now they're like super juiced and they're like a super soldier, but like a super evil soldier. You know, I don't know, just kind of crazy stuff like that. That's probably what I would do with it. But I don't know. I'm not on the writing team, so I don't know what they're gonna do with it. But I can absolutely see why they would be like, hey, here's a hint for something that's coming down the road. These things still exist. Do your math. Illidan collected, like, it was like 6 or 7 of them. And
I have 9 in my head, but that could be wrong.
So he grabbed a whole bunch, right? It was less than 10. We know it's less than 10.
It was less than 10. It was a single digit.
Single digit. It could be 9. And he was just like, you know what? This one is really important. Bloop, 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 bloop. And then Balfurion's like, what are you doing?
Right?
We're about to blow that thing up. And you're like, but I like it.
Well, like, I wonder, so we, and that's the thing, right? So the aspects were empowered again by Azeroth.
Mm-hmm.
We have these powerful vows of eternity.
Basically, and Azeroth blood.
Right. And apparently some shit's going to go down at midnight.
Yeah, with the sun. Well, maybe that's how they have to restart it, because they got to make a new one.
Maybe.
Because that would work if during the course of the events of midnight, the Sunwell is destroyed for a second time, they might just be like, well, let's make a new one. Sora Dormy gave me this.
Yeah.
Oh,
that'd be easy.
Maybe. Maybe. This is what's going to happen. Okay.
Bring it. What is it?
This is really stupid. This is not what they're going to do. Okay. They're going to bring Anvina back. That's the OG Sunwell. That's the OG Sunwell. And it's like, okay, you're all messed up. You're voidy now, right? Zaltath got all up in there. But so it's like Anvina, but like edgy. She's goth Anvina now. And they're just like, okay, Anvina, you go over there. You do whatever you want. We're just going to make a new Sunwell, right? We're just going to make a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Caligos is going to be like entering his like, he's into goth chicks now. Like, I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, poor Jaina. Like, they just started talking again and, like, talking about, you know, hey, maybe we should go out sometime. Like, and then they heard from Vina back.
The last times they talk, Caligos was like, hey, Jaina, can you not do a genocide? Like, I would appreciate, like, I know we're not really dating anymore, but don't do it.
But they got to talk at the Yub Nub.
Yeah. They talked there. So. Like, that's where they like reconnected. But the time before that was
right. I mean, that's an issue.
Yeah. Can I have that focusing iris back, please? Like, you're kind of like. Like don't.
Just don't.
Like, this is not gonna look good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
It's true.
Yeah. Maybe Caligos needs some Amphita time back. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm just saying, if your ex died, basically, and then suddenly your ex is back, hey, like, all right. How's it going, Amphita? What's up? Again, this is really dumb. Blizzard, don't do this.
Right.
It's bad enough you put it in the raid.
They're trying something different. But yeah, I'm dying to know why this was brought back up and what's going to happen.
They have to make a new Sunwell. They'll just skip that Anvina part.
They'll make a new Sunwell. Okay, what about the other vial?
I don't know. Storidomi's got to keep in her back pocket and says something really bad happening. I don't know. Eridicron's going to get it and he's going to drink it. He's going to turn into Super Titan. No, he would never do that. That's bad. That's bad. He doesn't like Titans.
That's bad.
If anything, he would destroy it. He was just like, no one should have this power. There's a stain on the Azeroth. Bleh. It's gross.
That's true. He would just destroy it.
I don't actually know if it wouldn't. If it was the blood of Azeroth and it's not Titan related, right? Because again, we go back to that. It's just Titan related, right? That's his world, right? So that's, he doesn't feel like that's like an outward influence because it comes directly from Azeroth. And that's what he's trying to protect. He doesn't want that outward. So then he would drink it. So there you go. Maybe Eridicron gets his hand on one and he drinks it. He goes,
can you
Super
imagine
Dragon!
Drinking it?
Super Dragon!
Oh, man.
He's like, he'd be like Galakrond, but like not, right? Because Galakrond drank some water and became bad. This guy's like, I'm going to drink the freaking power of Azeroth, not the power of an old god invader. Mm-mm. No. I actually like that idea. Give it to Eridicron, Blizzard. Scratch that Anvina thing. Like I said, don't do the Anvina thing. give one of the vials to Eridicron. Do something cool like that. That'd be awesome.
It would definitely add to the whole Eridicron villain thing going on.
There's almost a part of me that, I mean, obviously he has bad friends. Like, we don't like the Void. The Void's that's too much. But he likes the fact that they have the hunger. But
right.
In many ways, he's kind of a good guy going about it in the wrong way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that.
Because he views the Titans as an invading force. And especially if you got someone like Chris Metzen up on stage, what is their grand conspiracy? Usually you don't say conspiracy to things that are just doing good things.
True.
Conspiracy is usually a criminal act, right? It's usually what it is. So the Titans may be not so great. Eridicron may actually survive this whole trilogy and just turn out to be the one who is right.
And maybe we actually give it to him.
Yeah, you never know.
Joins our fight against them.
I mean, if you think about it, like if we play this whole little silly scenario where if Eridicron drank one of those vials, now he would just have the same power within him that Viranoth has now, right? Because Viranoth got empowered by Azeroth.
What if we give it? What if Illidan? What if we get come full circle?
Come full circle.
And Illidan drinks it.
Well, there are supposedly two of them, so he can like cheers.
Create a Sunwell, drink the other one.
Yeah, and then he'll be like, I don't know. And then he'll probably say something really cheesy like, I am prepared. And I'm like, okay, it was kind of cool the first time, but now you're just being dorky.
There could be a really good click line making fun of himself, though.
I don't know.
About that.
Liam O'Brien could probably make it sound cool just because.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I just can't make it sound cool.
He's good at that.
I'm not. I don't have those voice actor chomps. I can't.
I mean, you're pretty great, but
No, I can't do it. It sounds dorky. I am prepared. Yeah, shut up. God. Ooh, that was cringe. Don't do that.
Well, instead, you want to try some more Khagar voices?
Sure. This next it's bit? Terrible, but I'll try it again.
Do it.
All right, here we go. After guiding the champions to the shard, okay. Azragos,
the Shard of the Shifting Sands.
Azragos was attacked by a roving band of fighters, Khadgar explains. Unwilling to return to the physical world, Azragos instead hid away in the spirit realm, where he formed a relationship with the spirit healer, Anara. Interesting. He eventually got called back by the Blue Dragonflight to serve as the safekeeper of the Nexus. Khadgar's narrative note says, even after my extensive studies in the Shadowlands, I have yet to puzzle out how Azragos hid so long in the spirit realm, and he refuses to say. He was friends with a spirit healer. Okay, that's some interesting stuff.
Why not have some time, some fun time with a spirit healer?
Dragons are weird, man.
Dragons are awesome. But here's, I feel like it's important to note that given certain things down the road, and given like all the, you know, stuff with Medivh and whatnot, right? And now Khadgar has access to libraries and books spread throughout the Dragon Isles. Is there a chance he could have learned how Azure Ghost hid in the spirit realm?
Yes.
And got to come back later.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's very possible he could have learned this. And if there is such a thing as a spirit healer, I'm just saying, I would like that. That's all I'm saying. I would appreciate if that's something that he picked up as a skill. That would be a useful skill for someone in Khadgar's position to know. Right? He does some dangerous things sometimes.
Well, he does. Yeah, I feel like it would be useful for him to know this.
Yeah, like as a player who likes to check my death stats every once in a while, I am less than 500 deaths away because I pretty much just play my main character. I am less than 500 deaths away from 25,000 deaths on my character.
Oh,
25,000 deaths on my character. I'm not quite there. It's like 24,593 or something like that.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. It's a lot of deaths on one character. So as someone who has been through all that, let's just say being able to run back to your corpse or even speak to a spirit healer when your corpse fell off a cliff somewhere, because that happens. it's a useful skill. So if you made friends with one, after 25,000 deaths, I'm pretty sure I would be like, hey, how's it going? What was their name? Let's see.
Anara.
Anara. I'd be like, what's up, Anara? How you doing? Oh. What are you doing over here? Okay, dragon, you just having a chat with a dragon? All right, see you in about, I don't know. This is a difficult thing that I'm trying to deal with. I will probably back at least 3 times.
Right. We're doing something called progression.
Well, like I do some stupid stuff when I'm doing open world things sometimes.
Fair.
And because I'll see a rare and I'm like, I could do it. I swear to God, I could do it.
I've done that.
And then I have to switch to tank and then eventually I do it. It's just like, I feel like that's cheating. I like to do it as a DPS, that's why.
Fair.
But when you do it as a tank, yeah, it just takes a long time.
That's true. That's true. Doable, just takes a long time.
It's really boring, that's why I don't do it. It's like, it'll be here for 10 minutes.
Yeah, so true. Well, moving on, there was a small part that while we know it, seeing it stated made me stop and think about it. So I thought it was worth bringing up. It's shared with us in this book that all native life on Azeroth can trace its roots back to one of 4 ancient sources. Wild elements, the Titan Ianar and the Emerald Dream, sleeping void of the old gods, or the Titan constructs who suffered the curse of flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know if I can think of any creatures that go outside those 4.
The only ones. The only ones. And we're going to have to like probably chalk them up to wild elements is specifically like the Tauren and their earlier forms, because we don't, they were not Titan constructs. Right?
So we don't necessarily know.
So again, I would chalk them into wild elements as well as trolls.
Okay.
Trolls fall under that same purview because again, they were not Titan constructs. They appear to just be native to Azeroth because all elves were once trolls, as you know, we've learned from Chronicle.
Yes, true.
So again, I would just chalk them up to wild sources because I don't think Ianar or anything like that, like trolls, Tauren, and Pandaren are another example of that, are just examples of natives that eventually became, you know, playable races.
Yeah.
Like Quillbor, for example, they're kind of like that too. They're kind of like chalked up. But again, all wild elements. So, and I think where that kind of comes from, they're basically wild gods, because oftentimes these creatures that are kind of like come from wild elements, there's usually a wild god very similar to them.
True.
Like, for example, Blonsomedy is basically, he's just a troll, right?
He is, yes.
So, yeah, there's a few races that are definitely wild elements. So I think that's very interesting, which dragons are considered elements, yeah.
They are.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Wild elements could be considered like wild gods, which you wouldn't think as elementals, but elementals also fall under that same purview, which dragons come from elementals.
Yes. What would, the only one that like I gave hesitation to would Murlocs?
Murlocs would probably be a wild element. Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Because you also have to, well, I mean, like it's hard to know.
exactly if we're not told explicitly, or we just have to assume that we're just going to throw it into the wild element bucket. Because, like, for example, you would have thought, like, oh, the Jinyu, they were, like, wild element. But no, the Jinyu are actually Murlocs that just hung out by the Well of Eternity. So they're really similar.
Right, exactly.
But, like, what about the Hozen, right? There's another, you know, sentient race on Azeroth. But most likely, they're just from wild elements. I don't see ENR and the Emerald Dream making a Hozen. Right?
Maybe.
I don't see them as the seeping void of the old gods, but that's like that's like the Akir and you know the all the other bugs basically.
Yes,
and obviously the Titan constructs. That's like a dwarf.
Yeah, that's the Titan constructs. That one's pretty easy.
Yeah, that one's easy because that's simultaneously you. The funny thing is your character would be a combination of the two. Because like the Worgen is more of like a wild element tie-in, but obviously the human is Titan Construct, Curse of Flesh.
Right.
So it's funny. Yeah, it's like combo.
It's just, so like just reading that, I'm like, oh, I've never really thought of like narrowing it down to four things like that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, it's just forms of classification. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. There are some other little things in the Codex are interesting to read. For example, a portion of sand from the sacred hourglass at the temporal conflux, you know, outside the bronze temple over there, was in Nosdarmu's shoulder pieces.
You remember, mean the ones like, that broke?
The one that's broken, like the sand like dramatically came like pouring out of it.
And then he's like, oh.
That's where that, my sand. Oh. That's where that sand came from. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Right? Just a little thing.
The sacred hourglass at the temporal conflux. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But really, one of the big things I think a lot of us wanted to learn was about the origin of the Incarnate's power.
Oh, all right, let's talk about that.
We're going to talk about it. So the Codex explains that way back in the day, the Incarnates and the Aspects, and they were primal dragons.
Yep.
Before either of them were empowered, they were, my brain just read that sentence really weird. So yes, before either of them were empowered, they were just primal dragons. Jen, can you share what the book says about primal dragons?
All right, here we go. As the progeny of Azeroth's first chaotic forms of life, most primal dragons retained their connection to the wild forces throughout their evolution from primal spirits to flesh and blood. Although many ancient primal dragons were eager to accept the Titan's gift and ascend into ordered dragons, many others didn't want to abandon their primordial roots. This is how we got the primalists and the Aspects. The Aspects were empowered and all dragons were offered the opportunity to be infused with order magics, but many were mistrustful or unwilling to abandon their pure and untamed existence in exchange for the Titan's gift. Totally understandable. There's humans that would feel the same way. The primalists believe that they alone represent the true evolutionary path of dragonkind, and the keepers have subverted their elemental birthright. As we know, when they saw the order magic being forced on eggs, they said, hell no, and chose to go to war. After rejecting the gift of the Titans, the Primalists turned to the Elementalists to gain the power they needed to wage war on the Aspects.
So basically, we find out that the Incarnates gain their power by turning to the elements. And even in Virnoth's section, it explains when Virnoth joined them, she was infused with elemental power like the other Incarnates. So apparently, there is some kind of elemental ritual that they found out about or something.
Brock specifically, because he was the first to do it, remember?
Yes. And
it's just funny that he's the one who found it because he was kind of the dope.
he was the dopey one for a while and still kind of is sometimes. But so apparently they did some juju with the elements and that's how they got extra power.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I wish we knew like how they knew to do that?
Well, all we know is whatever they did, it's very similar to becoming a demon hunter because most didn't survive the process, right? Because after it was downed to just, I think it was like just a Riddichron and Virnoth and maybe just a Riddichron, he tried to make more incarnates and none of them stuck because it's like, oh,
right.
Shit, I need better dragons. These guys are, I don't know, they're like skipping leg day or something like that. I don't know what's happening.
The week.
Actually, those incarnates are definitely skipping arm days. You seen the little shrimpies? Like they,
They didn't bring the lore.
They're like, ah! I'm T-Rex. I'm very scary.
Cracks me up every time. But yeah, so apparently, I mean, and they were like able to actively make sure Varinok got that power. So now we do learn in the elemental dragon section that elemental dragons are primal dragons that found their way to the elemental plane. So I'm wondering if maybe that's how the incarnates learned to gain their power from the elements.
They prep. So
hung out with some elemental dragons. Like, hey, what's it like on the elemental plane over there?
That actually totally makes sense because, right, so Varrock, he clearly was aware of the elemental plane of fire as
had to have.
Right. And he was just like, hey, druids of the flame, you know, you guys, I'm flaming, you're flaming. Like, what's up, my fellow hotman? Like, come on, let's
my fellow hotman.
Let's get together. And we're going to flame it up. And the way we're going to flame it up is we're going to go talk. We're going to go talk to the Fire Lord. Dope now. Like, why'd you guys kill Ragnaros? That guy was awesome when I talked to him. And now we got this dork that I would rather just watch die. He even said that.
Little Lord Smolderface.
Yeah. So Smolderface probably tried to help him out and all that. But that's probably how the infusion took place. It probably came from the elemental lords.
Yeah.
That's my guess is... these dragons probably pled their case to the elemental lords, much like shaman do, right? Like the good shaman, not the dark shaman.
Right.
Where they're basically like, hey, if you give me some power, I will be like, I am the champion of the world. I'm going to basically protect it from the stain of the Titans' influence. And I'm sure the elements are like, yeah, get that. Ugh. They're like messing everything up on here. Like, cause, you know, order magic, they don't like it. They're all elemental based. They like the elements because they are the elements, right? So, of course. So I'm sure, like, Iridacron may have had a conversation with Therizane. Right? It was like, hey, Stone Mother, you want me to be your new badass up out there in the regular plane because you're kind of stuck here? And she's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, you guys beat up my daughter, jerks. So you can... that hadn't happened yet.
pretty princess.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, it's they probably got the power directly from the elemental lords, especially if they went to the elemental planes.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Which would make sense. So I feel like that helps to kind of shed a little bit of light, because I feel like that's something that a few of us have been kind of wondering throughout the expansion. Like, but how did they get their power?
Therizane gave it to him. It makes sense.
To Iridacron, yeah.
Yeah, Therizane gave it to Iridacron. You know, Ragnaros was like, sure, I'll burn you from the inside. If you survive, have fun.
Right.
And then Neptulon was like, you sure you want to freeze you? I will, but... Sure. I'm more like bloop, 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 bloop.
Well, I think I have in my head that they said that Varinoth is the aspect of storms, which would be Alakir, yeah?
Well, I mean, that would definitely be maybe. Razagath, though, right?
Well, Razagath is dead, though.
Well, yeah, sure.
I mean, that's how Razagath got it back in the day, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just talking about just becoming an incarnate, but okay, she's the aspect of storms. She's the aspect of storms now because she got elevated by Azeroth, not by, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I see what you're
saying. An elemental lord.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, back in the day, she probably talked to Neptulon. Yeah, I can make it icy. Sure. Be icy.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering how she got it back in the day. But yeah, I guess Neptulon would make sense.
I mean, there's no other elemental lord of water. There's not an elemental lord of ice, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Waterbenders always live in the north, typically. So it makes sense to me.
Right. Anything else about this, or should we move on?
I think we move on.
All right. Another thing I want to bring up is the first ones.
Boo.
And we've talked about them on the show in the past, how much we want to know more about them, yet also acknowledge that knowledge probably doesn't really change the lore much. I mean, Jenna even mentioned that Blizzard could just decide to sweep them under the rug and never talk about them and it'd be fine. Well, apparently that's not happening. I think I mentioned twice in this book. We learned about the Veilwings and how they are the only species native to the Shadowlands. The Veilwings of Ardenweald, apparently, are actually considered some of the fiercest defenders of Ardenweald. And the Codex goes on to say that it is unknown whether they are creations of the First Ones or evolved from spirits sent through the Arbiter's will. There's one mention of the First Ones there. The other mention of the First Ones had me scratching my head a bit. It says, reports of an infinite dragon acquiring a First One artifact is of equally dire concern. Luckily, it was retrieved after a broker from Tazavesh stole it. Now, the dire concern it's being compared to is the Infinite Dragonflight meddling with the flow of time to seek Nazdormu's corruption, blah, blah, blah. I can't think of what this first one artifact is. I reached out to Jin, like, what's up with this? Like, we're pretty sure it's the broker Soleil, however we want to say that. The last boss of Tazavesh, the Mega Dungeon. And it seems like it's the stolen artifact that they use at the end. I don't remember it being declared a first one artifact at the time. Do you remember?
I don't necessarily remember back then. Yeah, I don't remember if it was a first one's artifact or not, but there was literally a drop that you could get in game that just was like relic of the first ones or something like that. And who knows if that came from the dungeon or not, but that it was certainly a thing, and it was, but it did not go into any detail of what it was. It just said relic of the first ones. It was like a one of them orby thing kind of looking things.
Right, the orbies, yeah. So we're getting more mentions of the first ones. Again, kind of like Blizzard being like, hey, remember they're still there. They exist still.
Yeah, most likely. My guess is the reason why they're doing it is because if they just said that the Titans set up everything, they'd basically be saying that one of the cosmic forces set up everything. And that doesn't really make sense. If you're saying right. that, oh, everything is the way it is because of the, you know, the cosmic force of order, but we also have the cosmic force of light, void, and, you know, all six. So that them just saying that, oh, they own supremacy over reality. Probably that's probably why they're even trying to tell this story with the World Troll Saga and the grand conspiracy of the Titans, and why they're introducing these first ones as a way to say like, oh, yeah, there was something else there in the beginning, but don't worry about them. They're all gone now.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's kind of my thought.
Do you think that's why they are choosing to remind us that the first ones are even a thing?
I think.
Or do you think something is coming up?
My guess is that all of the, like, those in charge, those high enough on the org chart in there, you know, in the, be it the void or nature or anything. Like, for example, if you were to ask me, oh, Ianar is aware of the first ones, I'd be like, of course. Of course she does. She's Ianar. Is Elune aware of the first ones? Absolutely. She knows about the first ones.
Yeah.
Clearly, all of the, you know, the pantheon of death knows what's going on with it, or is at least aware of the existence of the first ones. So if all you're doing is saying that there was something there that set this all up, right? Created Ouroboros, set up this whole thing of the Maw, and right. I don't know where they're going with it. I don't know what the plan is. It just makes sense that
right.
if they're eventually going to tell a story where the Titans suck, right, in The Last Titan, you might want to have something there in the background saying that, well, yeah, all this like Titan-y stuff. But, you know, you can also say, well, the first ones are fine. They didn't do anything. They just kind of gave the cosmos a nudge and set it up. And now they're just. They're dead. I mean, apparently that's what a sepulcher of the first ones is. They're kind of like their tomb.
Right. Do we think we're going to learn more about them soon?
Yeah, I would definitely say this is going to be something that we will learn about most likely in The Last Titan is the most likely
that would make sense.
Spot where it will be discussed the most. The War Within, we'll probably find some lore books. We'll probably find some info, right? Because Khazalgar and, you know, the... Sector AR, you know, all that kind of crap. Those yeah. Titan and it was also mentioned right around the same time in the lore books that, you know, Odin was like ex-nay on the Erst ones. Odin's, I can't do Pig Latin. Erst ones, AR, whatever.
It's okay.
It's fine. Because yeah, it's just like, yeah, don't talk about them because no one needs to understand about that. It's not a necessity. So, yeah, we'll probably find out that everyone, like I said, high enough in the org chart is aware of their existence and what impact they had. And hopefully it's not really stupid.
Right. Now, does this make you feel any differently about the first ones? Are you still wanting to know more about them, or are you still content with just letting them be, sweeping under the rug and moving on?
Honestly, right now, I'm fine whatever direction they take because they haven't been they've. There's barely any information there as it is.
Right.
It's sus at best. I mean, really the biggest the biggest weirdness that I get from the first ones is the fact that they're like, well,
In case there ever needs to be a Maw Walker, we put this portal here so they can leave. I'm like, what? So that's the only part of the first one that I'm like, huh? but all the other stuff where it's like they set up the building blocks of the cosmos, the universe, and all that, blah, 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 right?
That would
that's
make
fine.
Sense.
I don't. Yeah. None of that's fine. It's just, it's the little minute little things within the Shadowlands story that I'm just like, that's come on. You didn't have that much of forethought, goofballs. Anyway, that's
or maybe they did. Maybe they knew all the futures of all the things.
That'd be dumb. I don't know. That's stupid.
But, I mean, the power had to come from somewhere.
I mean, if you have a character like Nazdormu, obviously he knows and sees all things. So sure, if they were like
Amenthal got from somewhere.
Yeah, so it's like, well, just in case, we've seen many futures where there's Maw Walkers and a whole bunch of about 12 million Maw Walkers, and they're gonna need a way out. I don't think 12 million people play Shadowlands. It was probably closer to 8, maybe even 5.
Probably. All right. Anything else about the first ones, or you want to move on?
Do you have anything else to say about the first ones? Because what do you think? Are you fine with the way that they are right now being portrayed?
I'm good with it, and it makes sense. I want to know more details. I want to flesh them out more as beings, but I'm content with what it is at the moment, I think.
Yeah, like it's...
kind of content.
Yeah, it was when it's just grand background stuff, like, sure, cool, whatever, that's fine. But it's when they get into the little minute stuff that I'm like, really? They had that much forethought? Okay, sure right, you did. Right.
Well, before we wrap up, there are some other things mentioned in the book, and there are things we've talked about in the past episodes, and there's plenty of other things that aren't really worth mentioning. There's some other, if we talked over every little tidbit of information, like, we'd be here for a while. So I kind of picked out the ones that I felt like mentioning. Others out there in the community might mention other things, but these are the ones I wanted to mention. One that I was like, oh yeah. While the Infinite Dragonflight wait for Nazdormu to turn into Murozond, Khagar says that the Infinite Dragonflight has no leader.
How does that even work?
According to Khagar, it's a thing.
I mean, I take it back. I mean, I suppose any and every member of the Bronze Dragonflight could be disaffected and become infinite, I suppose, in this grand theory of, no, we need to fix the timelines, not go with this one true timeline that Nazdormu thinks we need to go on. So, okay, never mind. I buy it.
Yeah, but I never really stopped to consider it. Like, they have no leader while they wait for Murozond. I'm like, oh. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, kind of does.
It gets a little timey-wimey when I stop thinking about it too much. It's very timey-wimey. Right? It's like, but if you've seen a future where he does, then at that point he becomes your leader. But then, it gets a little timey-wimey.
I mean, Nazdormu already said back in the Cataclysm days that he was destined to become Murozond.
Right, so at that point it happens eventually.
Yeah, and based on everything that went down at the freaking, the mega dungeon, right? The whatever eternity. What was the name of that place? With Galakrond.
End time?
End time. Sure. End time. No, well, not end time.
Oh, no. Galakrond. That's the Dawn of the Infinite.
Dawn of the Infinite. There you go. Yeah. There was no Dawn of the Infinite. That was basically them trying to short circuit the process.
Right.
Right. So the threat of Murozond is still out there, is all I'm saying. Because that the way that they tried to tell the story is because I think that's why that's even in here is like while they're waiting for a leader, they're like, well, can we just get them faster? Because we could just fix timelines. That's our credence. That's our motto. We will fix things right. If we can.
Yeah.
So they just tried to short circuit the process.
Yeah. But another one. I was like, oh, yeah. Chromatis, the lab created 5-headed dragon with the power of all 5 dragonflights, is still alive and being kept prisoner in an arcane prison.
Still alive, or do you need another like arcane zap, needle zap thing that they used to like bring it back the first time? Because I don't know, but I believe it. I mean, it was practically an indestructible dragon.
I mean, I could look at it again, but I'm pretty sure it just says still alive and in prison.
Yeah, I think they had to do something like that in the book. I remember it was like it was literally an indestructible dragon. We couldn't stop it, so we just
they couldn't kill him. Yeah, so it was just. Throw him in prison.
No.
Another one I was like, oh, yeah. The red dragons are still keeping vigil in the Twilight Highlands for any signs of the void, since the void is still a present threat there. And there's still Twilight energy seeping from the Twisted Tower there.
No, that was a lot of void. So yeah,
a lot of void. Sense. So the red dragons are still keeping an eye on there on the Twilight Highlands. Like, hey guys, just a reminder, there's still void happening over the Twilight Highlands.
And just another reason that Xal'Tath is screwing up a whole lot of stuff. Because Xal'Tath jacked up Nurgle. Yeah. And then they used that void energy. That basically Xal'Tath just jacked up there. And Gripitol make it all spooky in the, me and my people, the freaking Wildhammer, had to evacuate and go form Airy Peak because there's too much void energies in the area. And then Deathwing used it to create the Twilight Dragons. So,
right.
Xal'Tath, been there, done that, is basically her tagline.
I can see that.
If it's jacked up, that was me.
I mean, not all the things that are jacked up, but some of the things.
I mean, considering that she was this, I am very easy to lose, right? That kind of like vibe, they can easily write it. It's like, oh yeah, that was me too. Ha!
It's possible. It's possible. Another one, we still don't know who plotted to kill Chromie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it's someone from the Infinite Dragonflight because they didn't want her helping Nozdormu.
Yeah. I mean, and based on the way that it went down in Dragonflight with the end times, I wouldn't be Eternus. Surprised if it was Mochi or something like that, you know?
Right. Could have been Morchi. Could have been Eternus. Could have been maybe Chronolord Deus was involved. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm kind of convinced it was an alternate version of Chromie that did it.
Yeah. I can see it being Morchi.
Or someone different like that.
Yeah. So that's a thing, which I still have not actually finished that. And I
do it.
Like,
it's
been on my list to finish it forever. It's just, it keeps getting like bumped down the list because of other things, but it's on my list still to do.
You're like, do I want the Time Lord title? And the little like cosmetic thing, or do I want the bestest boy?
Bestest boy comes first. Yeah, but like I dabbled with the Death of Chromie when it was, you know, live and current content. I just never got a chance to actually finish it. So
yeah, should have finished it then because I wouldn't have the desire to go back and finish it either.
I'm gonna do it at some point. Here's another one I want to bring up. The Explorers League still has the skull of Alexstrasza's former consort,
Tyrannostrasz,
on display in Ironforge. I have my own little apartment picked out in Ironforge. I've had it picked out since Burning Crusade. It's actually like right across like the hall of Explorers.
Airy Peak is very small, so I don't have an apartment picked out.
Fair. I don't know. I it's a whole thing. That's a different conversation. Anyways, the Red Dragonflight has requested many times for that skull to be returned to them so they can properly bury it.
I get that. It's kind of like Greece saying, hey, British Museum, give me my Elgin marbles back, you ass.
Right. Like, I'm really surprised that was never resolved after everything that Azeroth has gone through and Alexstrasza and all of it. Like, how has this not been honored yet? Like, I'm baffled.
How has the British government not given back literal pieces of Greek history that was pulled right off their own buildings and are put in display in the British Museum? And Greece has been asking for it for a very long time, saying, those are ours. That's our history. You don't get to keep it. And they just don't give it back. So, yeah, it totally makes sense that the Explorers League
are
like,
that's real life. And this is a game.
Well, sometimes you can make a lot of like corollaries and things like that where it's
that's true.
Totally makes sense because the Explorers League, these archaeologists, right, are just being like, no, but it's cool. We've got a dragon skull. It's Tyrannostrasz, right? There's a big history there. He was like really, really old. And Alexstrasza is like, yeah, I know. Give it back.
Right.
The problem is, it's Alexstrasza, so she's not willing to burn them all down.
It's true. And she won't, but just, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. She feels about Death Knights. She's really pissed at him right now, but she won't kill him.
True. Well, at the end of the book, Khagar has a closing letter. I feel, for reasons, it needs to be read. Again, just for reasons. Especially the last paragraph. Dear Jin, will you do the honors?
Yeah, absolutely. After the defeat of Deathwing and the loss of the Aspect's power, we seem to find ourselves in uncharted territory. Against all odds, the many disparate races of Azeroth came together to defeat not only the Aspect of Death, but also the very old gods themselves. Though many enemies remain scattered throughout both time and space, or space and time as he wrote it, we stand united in the first time on a precipice of choice. The question is, what kind of world will we build? For too long, we suffered a cycle of hatred and madness. While most had no choice but to fight in the various wars mentioned within these pages, we can now choose to shape a better future. Together we saved Azeroth, and together we can rebuild our shattered world. And so, I choose to end this account with a message of hope for the refugees who found shelter in the scattered corners of Azeroth, for the veterans of countless campaigns, for those who lost so much to the madness of a once noble aspect and a beloved prince consumed by darkness, to a world that dared to defy the will of a dark titan and the dominion of the Maw, to a new future for all citizens of Azeroth, both mortal and dragon alike. That's a good one. I liked it. Yeah, that's nice. That's very nice.
I liked it too. Good job, Khagar.
Khagar is the best. I mean,
Khagar is the best.
I mean, a couple of years, I'm probably going to start looking like him. Like, my half my head's turning gray. So maybe I see myself a little bit in Khagar. Is supposed to be what I'm saying.
Do you have the dad jokes to back it up?
You saw my freaking joke that I came up with in my head the other day on Discord.
Yeah, that's true. You do got some Dagar going on. All right, I'll give you that. Well, I think it's where we can call it and start wrapping up. All in all, I thought it was an enjoyable read. It's chill, it's informational, and some things that, you know, kind of make you stop and think. Feel free to let us know in our Discord if you have read the Dragonflight Codex and what you found interesting in it. Jim, what's our Discord again?
That is discord.livelaughlore.com. And if you, too, want to know what that joke is, go there, you go to the comedy section. It's a really dumb joke about Chuck Norris. It's really dumb.
Yes.
But I love it because it made me laugh.
Do you have any other thoughts on the book?
No, I think it's a great book, and I like the way that it's written. And I think they chose the appropriate character to write this book, too.
Perfect.
Considering what's going on and his affinity for, you know, coordination, respect for one another. Right? And he always viewed the cycle of madness, as he put it. The cycle of hatred. There's really a book called Cycle of Hatred.
True, yeah.
Basically all about the people refusing to change their minds and get caught in old hatreds and never wanting to move forward to whatever form of peace that you can secure, because they're like, well, they did this to us, so we have to retaliate, right? We have to at least show some form of strength. We have to present that we're not just going to take that attack, right? We're going to give it back to you in some way, some tit for tat, right? Yes. They did a tit to us. We need to do a tat for them. And Khadgar was like, you know, you can just stop. You can actually come to the table, choose peace. And peace is hard. It is incredibly hard because you have that sense of feeling of hatred that something horrible happened to you. But
right.
That's not the right choice. I mean, you're just gonna keep perpetuating suffering if you continue that path. So yeah, and I think this is a really good a good thing to remember, especially what's going on in the world right now too. So
that is also true.
So there's that. Khadgar, be like Khadgar is what we're saying, everyone.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, do you have any other final thoughts on the book before we wrap up?
Nope. I just really enjoyed it. I also really appreciated that it was around when our power was out for like 26, 27 hours. So I read a lot of the book during that time by candlelight and flashlight. It's great.
That happened to me. I probably would have finished the book too. Yeah.
Fantastic. But that's about it. I think we can start wrapping up. You got a job to do.
I do have a job to do because it is the time of the show where we have to thank all those patrons, all those beautiful, wonderful, amazing people that go over to Patreon and do some amazing stuff, because if you want to support the show and keep it going just like they do, you can do that by going over to patreon.com/livelaughlore, and they keep our silliness going. They really do. But we also have to say a huge thank you to all of those top patrons out there, and those are in no particular order. There actually is a particular order. I'm just not going to tell you what it is, but you can figure it out. It's basically how long we've been here. That list is Lex Rance over there from Fort Azeroth and the Timbrot Tavern. Absolutely. Love my little guild over there. It's great. Monkey Valhalla, Fucking
monkey. My dog. My dog is whining outside my door because he's unhappy that the door is closed. I was distracted.
Yeah, exactly. What's happening to? Yeah, Viking monkey. Absolutely. Libby's doing the same thing. She's yelling at a closed door right now. So anyway, continuing on. Shalil, Nicolore, Craiglimus, Ikis, Sarith, Nadun, Night Warrior. Mud, Aphrodon, Dungeon Masterberg, Greybeard, and Dracorus. Thank every single one of you. You are all absolutely amazing.
Stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story.
We like to end every episode with a positive story, really something, you know, lighthearted and fun, like this week. Recently, a 13-year-old on the island of Stronsay in Orkney, Scotland, was on a walk with his mom, you know, taking the dog for a walk, and he found a rubber ducky. His mom took a look at it and found typed writing that said, "World Record Duck Race, Ireland, 2006. And it was recently found on a beach in Scotland, which this was an actual thing. It took place in Dublin, Ireland in the summer of 2006. This race, the World Record Duck Race, included 150,000 rubber duckies at the starting line in the River Liffey. I'm saying things right.
It's close enough.
Which it sounds like a lot of fun. And I need to look that race up later. I hope this video, because I need to see it. But apparently each duck was sponsored and they had to pass under 5 bridges. And the one that did it in the fastest time earned the sponsor of that duck a trip to the U.S. And when it was done in 2006, the race organizers did their best to collect all the rubber duckies, but some managed to swim far, far away. The one that was found on the beach in Scotland 18 years later was 423 miles from where the race took place in 2006. Others were found in Morecambe, which is in the city of Lancaster in England, and the Isle of Wight in the English Channel. And there was one even found in Sweden in 2016. Oh, and because it has like, you can see in the picture, like it's got like, it was like stamped typed on the rubber ducky. It was from the World Race in Ireland 2006. So I think it's just so cool that one was found 18 years later, still intact. It was in pretty decent shape, honestly. Still visible writing, just chilling after floating around the world.
Ernie would be proud, is all I could say. Like,
right. It's so awesome. I love it so much.
That's a lot of rubber duckies. And the fact that they're still being found maybe means that there should have been a better duck collection system.
Probably. I love that they just survived just going along the ocean. I can you imagine being like a fish or a shark or something out there and like, what the shit is that? Is it still like rubber duckies just floating along?
It is a member.
Through storms and who else knows how it happened.
It is one of 150,000 thingamabobs that make bath time so much fun.
They do. It's true.
Because rubber ducky, you are the one.
they make so many things fun. I have this little blue rubber ducky on my desk that was in a drink I had one time. It was literally called the rubber ducky.
That is adorable.
And I took the rubber ducky and cleaned it off and put it in my purse and took it home.
That is gorgeous. That is beautiful.
That's what you do.
That is what you do. You keep that rubber ducky and you put that rubber ducky in your purse so that your rubber ducky can be with you forever because it's a rubber ducky.
It's a blue. It's my favorite color even. How
it's
did
a
I know?
Blue rubber ducky even. Not even a yellow one. So yeah.
Right.
I'm assuming this one's yellow though, right?
No, the picture was actually a white rubber ducky.
What? A white rubber ducky? Insane.
It happens.
Thank you so much for listening to Live Laugh Lore. If you have a topic or a question you'd like us to discuss, send us an email at livelaughlorecast@gmail.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore, and you can keep the show going for as little as $1 an episode. You can watch Allie live on Twitch Sunday nights over at twitch.tv/AllieAndres. And you can watch Jin Monday nights at twitch.tv/JinsJoint. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @live_laugh_lore. You can follow Jin on Twitter at @JinsJoint, and you can follow Allie at @AllieAndresK. Meanwhile, be kind and take care.